1 John chapter number 4. I want to show you a couple of things before we get into the meat of the message. But while she was singing that song, a couple of passage came to my mind. 1 John chapter number 4. You say, Brother Brian, how do we know that truth is being taught in church? And how do we know truth is being sung? And how do we know these things? Well, let me give you an example of how to know. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 1. Speaking to Christians here, he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but instead try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A lot of falseness being taught out there. A lot of stuff we see on TV, we hear on the radio. A lot of people in pulpits are saying this and are saying that. Verse number 2, how do you know they're telling the truth? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you know God's in it. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Anybody who says that Jesus has not come is not of God. It's plain and simple right there is what it says. Verse number 3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. He says, listen, you've heard that the spirit of Antichrist was going to come. You heard that a false prophet was going to come. Guess what? He's already here. There's a lot of that teaching going on. But look at verse number 4. He gives us encouragement through this all, the spirit of fear that Miss Sherry was singing about. Ye are of God. Underline that right there. If you belong to God, you are of God. And then he calls us little children. Now, he doesn't call us to chide us. He helps us to understand that we belong to God. Ye are of God, little children. And you have overcome them. Who? Those the spirit of Antichrist. You have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me say that again, just in case you didn't hear it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you got God living inside of you. You can know the truth. You can read the truth. You can hear the truth. And guess what? Satan has no foothold in your life. Amen. And when fear and fright and uncertainty and doubt come into your mind, you can banish those things because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, come on, brothers and sisters. Let me try it again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Man. That's good stuff right there. And I'm not even making that up. It's right here in black and white. Greater is he. Now, so brothers and sisters, we're not gathered here this morning just to see me get up here and say a few little things and walk around and get excited, and then you get to go home unchanged. This morning, we're going to continue to learn from what God's word says. I'm going to give you a couple of good doctrinal words this morning. And I want you to write the notes down. I'm going to give you the scriptures that go along with them. And then we're going to see from the Bible how those two doctrinal words apply to everyday life. So here's the two doctrinal words. Justification and sanctification. Justification and sanctification, okay? So we're going to start with justification. You're thinking, oh no. Here we are going to college, and here we are doing this. And not, Brother Brian, I just want you to get up there and say a few little things. Make me feel good before I go home. No, you are here to learn God's word. Amen? Amen. All right, justification. Here's the justification. I'm going to give you the definition. I want you to write this down. Justification, the biblical definition of justification. Here it is. A legal declaration. It's a legal declaration in which God pardons, a legal declaration in which God pardons the sinner of all sins. It's a legal declaration in which God pardons the sinner of all sins, and then he accepts the sinner as eternally righteous in his spirit. Let me read that again. A legal declaration in which God pardons the sinner, and he pardons him of all sins, and then he accepts the sinner as eternally righteous in his sight. Brothers and sisters, justification means this, that when God looks at us and we've accepted Jesus Christ our Savior, all he sees is the blood. He sees the blood that has covered every single sin. And when he sees us, we are eternally righteous, never to be declared unrighteous. Hallelujah to that. And you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I don't necessarily agree with that, because there's times that I feel unrighteous. How many of you could declare this morning that sometimes you feel unrighteous? Yeah, that's the biggest struggle in the Christian's life, is that we feel unrighteous. And what causes that? What causes that is that when we get down dirty in the middle of sin, or we do this or we don't do that, the devil gets on our shoulder and makes us feel guilty. He starts saying, well, you're nothing but a low down so-and-so. And he says, listen, there's no reason for you to keep living. You're unrighteous. Well, the fact is, yes, we've sinned, and we confess it to God and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have lived that way. I know better. Please forgive me. And then we go to God and we say, God, you know all about this. And God says, I don't know what you're talking about. All I see is the blood. Justification. It's a legal declaration that when we stand before God one day, he is not going to send us to hell. All he's going to do is say, come on in, my child. The blood of my son has bought your way in. Justified. How many of you are thankful you are justified? Justified.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, Brother Brian, can you give me biblical truth? Can you show me where it says that in the Bible? No, it's just a story that I made up. No, it's not. Let me show you what the Bible says about that. Go to Romans chapter 3. When does it happen? Let me show you real quick. Romans chapter 3. I've been waiting 2 weeks to preach this message and to teach these things, so I'm fired up and I'm excited about this. Romans chapter number 3. Verse number 19. We're going to start there. Romans chapter 3, verse number 19. The Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. And every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So if you're trying to follow the law, and you're trying to keep rules and regulations, and you're trying to do everything right, and try to cross every T and every little dot, and you're saying, hey, my efforts are going to save me, my efforts are making me right in God's sight, he says, listen, you break one law, you've broken them all. You are guilty in God's sight. You can't work your way into righteousness with God. You can't be perfect enough. So stop trying to be perfect to make God happy with you. It ain't going to work, because guess what? You may be perfect for 5 whole seconds. But guess what? Eventually, after the 6th second, guess what? You're going to mess up again. That's what he's saying. If you're trying to keep the law, forget it. It's not going to save you. But then he says this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. It's impossible in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We know sin because law tells us if we break it, we've therefore sinned. Now, here's the exciting part. Look at this, verse 21. But now, I love that, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And how is that? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Here's how it is. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. for there is no difference. He says, listen, there was the law. The law showed you that you were doing wrong, and you tried to keep the law, and you failed miserably. So therefore, you were guilty in God's sight. But then Jesus came, and he died for your sins. He's the one that paid the penalty. So when you put your faith in him, guess what? All God sees is the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're therefore justified. Not because you've earned it, not because you did it, but because of what Jesus did for you. And that's enough to say amen.
Amen.
You're free, brothers and sisters. Stop living in bondage. We get bound by our sins. We get bound by our fleshly desires. And I just don't understand why I continue to do that. I don't know why I continue to feed the flesh. I don't know why I continue to want to be good enough. It's just that's my makeup. But when I finally realize and understand that Satan has no more power over me, but I've got the blood of Jesus that powers me, what a freeing thought that is. I've been justified. Now, some of you came in here this morning and you don't have any peace. You came in here and your soul is doing this. You came here this morning and you're just irritated. You came in here this morning and you are just frustrated and frazzled and you've had enough. Maybe you've messed up this week. Maybe you messed up this morning. And you're just, you know what? God doesn't love me and God hates me. Well, let me show you contrary to that. We've already seen it in 1 John, and I just showed it to you in the book of Romans. Let me show it to you again in the book of Romans. Go to chapter number 8 with me real quick. Now, we're talking about justification here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. We'll start in chapter 7, verse 23. I want to start there. Just kind of give you a background. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. Let me start there. Paul is talking about the war going on inside of his mind. He says, but I see another law in my members, in my body, and it's warring against the law of my mind. So my body wants to do this, but my mind tells me to do that, he says. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. My mind knows that I'm justified. My mind knows that I'm right with God because of the blood of Christ. And my mind tells me that thing. But the problem is my body wants to do something different. How many of you fight that battle daily? Your mind knows what the right thing is to do, but your body wants to do totally different. It's like a war, a constant battle. That's what he's saying here. Verse number 24, he describes himself. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, an exclamation point. He says, I feel like a wretch. Man, I feel like a failure. I'm battling this all the time and I feel horrible about it. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, what am I going to do about this? Who's going to save me? I'm sick of fighting this battle. I'm tired of the war. Oh God, who's going to save me? Who's going to deliver me from this? Let me give you a clue. It ain't you. You're not going to deliver yourself. Your good works and your righteousness ain't going to do nothing. Verse number 25, he then shares this statement. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, my mind serves God, but my flesh doesn't want to. And he continues the thought. He says, chapter 8, verse number 1, because of this, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, I left out a word there. Did you recognize that? What word did I leave out? What? Come on, help me out, church, if you're paying attention to me. What word did I leave out? Now. There is therefore now, at this very moment. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, wait a minute. See, you came in here feeling condemned. You came in here feeling that there's no hope. You came in here feeling, what's the sense in going on? You're condemning yourself. You're letting Satan condemn you. And he says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. You are therefore justified. Woo! I'm free. I'm not bound by sin anymore. I'm not bound by hell anymore. I am free because of what Jesus did. I'm not condemned. And he says this, he continues the thought. And what do? They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You want to be free? Trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, and then start living according to the Spirit. Because when you live according to the flesh, it only brings condemnation. But when you live after the Spirit, it brings righteousness. That makes a whole lot of sense. You know why we feel guilty? It's because we live according to the flesh. And when you feed the flesh and you do what your body wants to do, it results in nothing but condemnation. But when you feed the Spirit and you read God's Word and you pray, guess what? Then you've got righteousness feeling again. And guess what? It's a whole lot better. Does anybody enjoy living under condemnation in here? I can remember getting in trouble. I know, you think I'm perfect and I was a good little boy. I remember getting in trouble at home when my mom was raising me and they weren't both working. I remember doing things that were just mischievous. I wasn't a bad kid, I was just mischievous. Cutting my sister's hair one time. Y'all ever do that to your little child, your sister or brother? I said, let's play barber. I gave her a great haircut, wonderful haircut. That's why I'm a preacher, not a barber. I gave her a haircut. My mom comes in and just, a pocket. Just, and I can never forget the word she said to me, wait till your dad gets home. The rest of my day was ruined. Because I was condemned. I was convinced I was going to die. How did you know that feeling? I don't think there's enough of that nowadays, but that's a whole other story. My dad came in, and I was certain. I wasn't even getting a blindfold or a last meal or nothing. I knew I was dead. But all he did was laugh. Made my mom mad. But all he did was laugh. Now, at the time, I didn't appreciate what that meant, but I do now. Satan condemns us. Satan makes us feel like, oh, doom is coming. But the blood of Jesus Christ gives me free, and I'm no longer bound. I am justified forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So justification. Justification. All right? That's a simple term. Those are some verses. Let me give you some more verses that come along with it. I'm going to give them to you. I want you to go home and read them. Okay? All right? Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Write these down so you can go home. I'm going to just read them to you. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And the great thing about justification, it's complete and finished. It doesn't need to be added to. It cannot be taken away from. It is complete and it's finished. Justification. All right? Next word. Sanctification. You get to walk out of here this morning, I'm sanctified. How many of you are sanctified? How many of you have no clue? Let me give you the definition of sanctification this morning. Here's the definition. God's renewing. God's renewing and transforming. God's renewing and transforming our whole person. God's renewing and transforming our whole person by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God's renewing and transforming our whole person by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You are justified so that when God sees you, all He sees is the blood, but then He is continually sanctifying you. In other words, He's transforming you from the inside out. And who is doing that? The Holy Spirit is doing that inside of you. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and then you begin a process of sanctification. You grow and grow and grow and get closer to God as you walk daily with God. But the problem is, we've got Christians, now not y'all, those who aren't here this morning, we've got Christians who were saved and they've not grown any. They've been saved for 50 years, but yet they've not grown in the Lord because they don't want to. They don't want to read God's Word. They don't want to understand it and study it. All they want the preacher to do is give a few little words on Sunday morning, because that's the only time they come, and they just simply want to have that, and then they're good to go. Brothers and sisters, sanctification is a process, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but we got to want to grow. Some of you have been drinking spiritual milk your whole lives. It's about time for you to stop the milk and start with the food.
Amen.
But it ain't my responsibility. There's a good English word, ain't. It's not my responsibility to grow you. It's my responsibility to feed you. And then it's your responsibility to take it in and grow in it. If you just simply open your Bible one time a week, and that's on a Sunday morning, and the rest of the week you don't read it, you don't pray, guess what? You're not going to grow. Amen to that.
Amen.
You're going to be anemic, anemic, and all those memic words. Sanctification is not done by you. It's done by the Holy Spirit. And it changes you. It changes you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Here's how you grow. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18, the very last verse of this epistle. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Here's what Peter signs off with as he's writing these words to the churches. He says this: but grow in grace. Okay, he wants you, your grace, to continue to grow and to get stronger. And how does that happen? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you grow in grace? By the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you grow? By knowing what this says. By understanding what this Bible tells us. That's how you grow. Well, Brother Brian, I listen to preachers all day long, and I do this all day long, and I do that all day long, and so therefore I'm growing. Well, fantastic. But are you applying what you're learning? See, if you walk out of here on a Sunday morning and you're not changed, there's not something that the Holy Spirit has done in your life. And I'm not trying to lift myself up, but it's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with you, because every Sunday I give you God's Word.
Amen.
Every Sunday. Therefore, it's your choice to read it and grow
or to stay ignorant. How dare you? That's the truth. You grow in grace by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's right here. Now let me show you another verse just in case you don't believe me. All right, let me show you another verse because some of you look like you're, I don't know about that. Go to Philippians chapter 1 real quick. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Verse number 6. I love this right here. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Paul writes and he says these words. Being confident, having full assurance, no doubting in your mind. Being confident of this very thing. And what's the very thing he's describing here? That he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who is it that grows you? It's God that grows you through the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The moment you were saved, he began. And some people say, well, Brother Brian, I just don't understand the Bible. I just read it and it just goes straight over my head and I don't know what's going on. Well, let me give you a clue, okay? There's a great resource, and it's better than Google. There's a great resource that's better than commentaries. Here it is. God, it's your word, and I know you're living in me. Help me to understand this. It does not say, let me substitute something. Let me show you here. Being confident of this very thing, that the preacher which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. No, that's not what it says. It says he. Who is he? Come on, who is he? You can say it. God. God began the work because you trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, and he will continue the work of sanctification until Jesus Christ comes or you die. You know how I know God's not done with you yet? You're still alive. And God wants you to continue to grow and get stronger in him and know him better. But the problem is, we've got too many Christians in this world that have never grown and they don't want to grow. They've got their asbestos fire suit on. They're not going to hell. And that's all they care. Brothers and sisters, God saved us much more and much more and much more than that. He called us to grow. And here's the amazing thing, and here's the reason we don't want to grow. Because if we grow, that means we got to do something. That means then that we have to actually serve God. That means that life no longer becomes about us, it becomes about others. And therefore, if we remain ignorant, we don't have to do nothing because I didn't know about that, I'm ignorant. You try telling that to a police officer when he stops you and pulls you over for speeding. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know how fast I was going, I didn't understand how the speed limit says, I didn't know. Police officer look at you like, nah. I was ignorant. Police officer looks at you. I know you were ignorant. Guess what? This morning you're not ignorant no more because I just showed it to you. So now you can't say, I didn't know. Didn't we just read it? Some of you are still asleep. That's okay. It's right there. He that began a good work in you will continue it. And guess what? He wants you to grow. Man, it gets to the point where I want you to know more than I do. I don't want to be the go-to person for everything. I want you to know more than I know. So that you can be the go-to person. And when a problem arises, I'll call you up to take care of it. Y'all don't look like that. I want you to know more than me. And the best way is to know this. Because I don't know all this. But I enjoy learning it. How many are thankful that you're justified? How many of you are thankful that God is still sanctifying you? Two big old doctrinal words. When I first called them this morning, some of you are like, oh no. I hope I've broken it down so that you understand it now.
I love this. One more verse. It's 12 o'clock already. Hard to believe. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some of you think it's not hard to believe. Really, run up and watch my watch. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let me show you real quick. One final passage. First Thessalonians chapter number 4. If none of this has touched you yet, this verse, this passage should touch you, because it's God's will that you be sanctified. It's God's will for you to grow. Here he says in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, I strongly beg you, he says, brothers, brethren, and I exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, he says, we've taught you and you've understood it, you've read it. He says, as you ought to please God, so you would abound more and more, so you would grow more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He says, listen, we've taught you and we've showed you how to live in Christ. And we want you to understand how to continue to do that. And he says, it's commandments of God. Verse 3, for this is the will of God. Everybody's searching for the will of God. Well, here's part of it right here. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. In other words, even your growth. How do you grow? By abstaining from fornication. By staying away from sin. By staying away and avoiding it. That's how you grow in God. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That you know how to live your life for God. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Even as Gentiles, which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Brothers and sisters, you want to grow in God? Stop living in the world. That's what it means. You want to grow closer to the Lord? Then start living like the Lord's living inside of you. Start doing right, because it's pleasurable to God for you to do right. You want to grow in the Lord? Stop doing wrong. Well, Brother Brian, I enjoy it too much. It's fun. Man, you old fuddy-duddy. You don't want me to have any fun, do you? Man. You're a wet blanket. I'm not coming back to church. You're telling me to be good. You know what? I'm not telling you nothing. I'm just giving you biblical truth. You don't like the biblical truth? You take it up with the author.
Not yet.
That's right. He's saying amen. It's just a baby talk. Brothers and sisters, you want to grow? Then do what God tells you to do. You want to be stunted in your growth? Do what the world tells you to do. Justify and sanctify. God's not done with you yet. Hallelujah. They asked Michelangelo why he was doing the carving of David. They said, how do you know what he looked like? And how do you know what it's going to finish out as? And Michelangelo said this, I'm going to keep chipping away until I'm done
and I know what he looks like. You know what? God's not done with you yet. You're not a finished product yet. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. He's not done. And he's not going to be done until he finishes. Now, for some of you, it's just a short little time. For others of you, woo! Take advantage while you can. God's not done. You're being sanctified. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.